Turning your Bibles to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We'll look at one verse tonight if we can read it together. It's verse number 6 of Proverbs chapter number 22. Stand with me, please. In Proverbs chapter number 22, we'll read together there in verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. And Father, thank you so much for the preacher that we have who follows the direction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for the great service that was had this morning. And Lord, for all that you did in the hearts of those that were here. And Lord, I pray that you please meet with us again tonight. Father, we're coming tonight expecting, we're coming hoping, we're coming begging to hear from you tonight. Father, we just for a little while want to hear you speak to our hearts. Father, I pray, Lord, that you please be with our preacher as he preaches, be with the special music, pray that it would prepare our hearts. And in your name we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Are those mics on? Hey.
Para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. Juan 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, thou hast everlasting life. John 3:16.
Un propósito distinto él me dio, cuando todos mis pecados canceló. Él me dio su paz y gozo en mi ser, y ahora yo le quiero obedecer. Maravillosa es la nueva vida, maravillosa es que él murió, maravillosa es gran amor de Cristo, maravilloso es que me salvó y con su poder me transformó. Life as perfect now and never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found a life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it's wonderful to be the child. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it's wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Solo nuestro Jesús está a mi lado, amigo fiel.
Sitting there thinking about how important it is for us to have the opportunity to have our missionaries come back through every so often. And we don't We don't put demands on. It's so different now. Getting support, they have to go all over the country. They used to be able to regionalize, maybe go to a certain area of the country and raise support. But like it is today, they go from southwest to northeast and southeast to northwest. And it's hard for them to catch every church on the furlough and see their families a little bit. So we don't make demands, but when it works out to have a family come through, it's important. I've been encouraged tonight by this family being here, seeing what they've done in Spain and what their plans are, the enthusiasm, the excitement. They're reaching their people. And so, Brother Joseph, it's been a joy to have you here tonight and your family. It really has been. All right, we're in Proverbs 22, number 12 in the series, Seasons of Life Building. And let's pray together and we'll jump in tonight. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to fellowship with our missionary family from Spain. Thank you so much for Brother Cigarrado. Bless them. May they raise the extra $600 a month that they need. And Lord, I pray that you will give them journeying mercies here as they go from state to state and church to church. And then, Lord, a safe return to their place of ministry. Father, bless this service, these moments in your word for our good. And we'll thank you. We need your anointing and your blessing. And I pray, ask for it in Christ's name and amen. For a hunter, there is nothing quite like the moments when your prey is approaching the area where you know you are going to get off a shot. There has been preparation, there has been practice, there has been time and usually some money invested, maybe sacrificing a little sleep, enduring some cold weather or inclement weather, sometimes sitting in some rainy cold weather that just gets to your bones. And so you've done all this, and then everything you've been working for and hoping for comes to reality. And the shot is made, and the thrill of knowing that you made a good, clean kill shot, and maybe you even saw the animal go down after a short run, and the adrenaline is pumping in your body, and you give yourself a few moments to calm down and for the animal to expire, and then you make your way to the area where the animal is or was shot, and then you follow the trail, if necessary, to where your prey went down. And you're there, and the animal is examined, and photos are taken, and maybe phone calls are made, or maybe not, if it's not that nice an animal. If you just shot some meat, you don't really call and make a big deal about it. But anyway, and you have a good time, and then the work begins. Because a good hunter doesn't just kill an animal and walk away. He doesn't do that. In fact, the Bible talks about that. No, the good hunter knows the meat has to be harvested and the carcass has to be disposed of. So the work starts when the trigger is pulled. And if you've ever taken an animal, you know what I'm talking about. The work starts when the trigger is pulled. For 9 months, Dad and Mom plan and prepare for the arrival of the baby. The shower is held, items are acquired, a room is made ready, names are chosen, arrangements are made for the older children if necessary to be cared for, a suitcase is packed with items that Mom will need at the hospital, and then at 2:30 in the morning, it's always in the morning, in the middle of the night, things begin to happen and it's time. And so away to the hospital you go, and after some time at the hospital, could be 15 minutes, it could be 15 hours. Doesn't know how long. The little baby arrives, and the tears and the smiles and the joy and the hugs and the kisses and the photos and the phone calls and the excitement. And then the nurses come and the baby is taken to be washed and cleansed in the nursery and all the vital information has to be taken and Dad and Mom catch a quick nap maybe and then knock. It's time for the baby to eat. And you know what? The work begins. The work begins. Jackie, I was thinking about, Brother Mick said, with this grandchild coming, are you going to be called Granny Smith? Amen. So that would be it. That might, huh? So I just wondered, like that. But anyway, I thought that was pretty good. Lauren, you make sure that happens, okay? Amen. Granny Smith. All right. Now the work begins. Because good parents don't just bring a baby into the world. Good parents realize that the child must be trained and taught and cared for and reared, and that is a process that will take years, and the work usually starts when the child, the work really starts when the child is born. We have a lot of little children at church right now. We have, if it stands as it is, right now we have 9 kindergartners starting school this fall in our school from our church. Casey's planning on a nervous breakdown about November. 9 of them. 9 kindergartners. And they're all passive little perfect children. Now, I don't know of a time when training up children has been more important, more vital than it is today. Now, we've been using Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, calling it seasons of life building. We're kind of in that young couple stage in life right now. We talked about the dating, courtship, engagement period. We talked about wedding day. We talked about young couples and their finances a few weeks ago. And now tonight, I want to talk a little bit about this matter of training up a child for young couples who start bringing children into the world. The purpose of that time in life is to rear those children in the nurture and admonition of God's Word. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. We know that. Don't have to belabor that point with you. Containing those short one verse, sometimes two verse maxims, teachings of wisdom, life teaching, wise sayings, all of that is what is the book of Proverbs. And here in chapter 22, here is a maxim, a wise saying that stands as an eternal truth for parents. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, here's what I see from this verse. First of all, number one, there is a way for a child to go. Number two, the child will not always want to go that way. Number three, the child must be trained to go the way he should go. So, Dad and Mom, let me encourage you to do this. Sit down and decide what you know, according to Scripture, your child should be someday. Maybe at age 18 or age 19, when they reach that age where they will, you know, start to leave the parental control that they've had all their life. They may not move out of the house for good, but they will begin to maybe go away to a school or a college, Bible college, or some other trade school, and they'll get out from underneath the supervision, the 24-hour supervision of Dad and Mom, age 18, 19, 20, whenever that happens. So what do you want them to look, what do you want them to be when they're 18, 19, and 20? You know, whatever it is you envision the Scripture has laid down for that 18 or 19-year-old child to be. Start them on that road now. Now, here's what I'm talking about, folks. Brent, or whatever, Brent, come up if you would. Give me just a second here. Is there, I know we don't have anybody under 3. Is there a 3-year-old in here who's awake? Is there a 3? Start a son over here. Is there a 3-year-old in here who's awake? There's not a 3-year-old in here. Okay, well, we just have to make do then. That's all right. Is there a 4-year-old in here? Little buddy back here. Can you help me, bud? Wesley, come on up here. This is Adam and Jesse's little boy, Wesley. Adam and Jesse joined this morning. We'll shake hands with them next week. Okay. Now, here's... come on over here, Wesley, if you would, buddy. How you doing, man? Good to see you. All right, now let's say Wesley is not even 4. Let's say he's newborn. So you got a new child, okay? And if Mom and Dad look down the road, Brent, you're not quite 18, 19 yet, right? Okay, but okay, so let's give Brent a few more years, 18 and 19, 20. This is what you want that little guy to be. There is a road that leads to that destination. And whatever that way is, train up. Train up a child in the way he should go. Folks, you can't take this young child down this road and end up at that destination. You can't take this young child down that road, end up at that destination. If that's your destination, you got to start them on the road, the way that leads to this destination. Train up a child in the way he should go. Okay, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you, Brent. You can go back to your seat, Wesley. Thank you, bud. All right, very good. So, Dad, Mom, start at the end and decide what you know God wants from your child. And then at this point in life, head them that way. And bring them up in that way. You're holding that little bundle of life. You're looking down the road to age 18 or 19 when hopefully they are a mature young adult ready to embark on their life. And what you see hopefully is defined by Scripture. And so because what you see by faith 19 or 20 years down the road, that's the road you, that's what you start training them to be. Now, people, you cannot let them grow up as they want to, doing what they want to do, being what they want to be, and then all of a sudden at age 15, you decide it's time to start training them to be what you want them to be. That's too late. You have to start now. You have to start when that child is just little bitty, and there's that destination, there's that end, that's the goal, that's the way you need to send them. This is an implicit or explicit command. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, folks, who decides what the way he should go is? Do the parents decide that, or does the child decide that? The parents decide that, obviously. The child does not decide that. And as I asked on Wednesday night, I don't know who it is that's promoting this philosophy of pick the right fights with your children. In other words, you're not going to argue with them about some things. You're going to choose what things to fight with them about, what things to argue with them about. I would like to know what author, what teacher, what blogger, what preacher, what podcaster is having that kind of influence over parents. Because that sounds sweet. But I don't see that in Proverbs 22:6. I mean, I suppose there are some extremely minor details of life that should be, you know, maybe could be left to the will and choice of the child. Are they going to be a Sox fan or a Cubs fan? Are they going to be winners or losers, I guess. I don't know. But this is the year. You know, what's their favorite color? Well, okay. But to use that philosophy for things like music, which is what advice some of you folks have gotten, pick your battles, and we decided that we weren't going to fight our kids on music. You're going to do that when it comes to their friends? You're going to do that when it comes to their dress, their work ethic? Hold your finger here, Proverbs 22. You know the verse. Look at Colossians chapter 2, folks. And let me just show you a verse here in Colossians chapter 2. And it can be applied into every area of the Christian life, including that of child rearing. And I know specifically in the book of Colossians, it's talking about salvation and the completeness that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that. But every passage has one interpretation and can have many applications. And this principle, this truth taught in verse number 8 of Colossians chapter 2 can be applied across the board to every matter in the Christian life. Look what Paul said. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Now, that comes from a compound Greek word which means to love and wisdom. Phileo is a Greek word which means to love. Sophie is a word which means wisdom. Philosophy, 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 to love wisdom. Philosophy is the love of wisdom. Now people, there is nothing wrong with loving wisdom, but you've got to be careful and you've got to be certain of its source. You have to be certain and positive and careful of its source because, look what Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. There is a love of wisdom that is after men. There is a love of wisdom that is after the world, that is not after Christ. And Paul said, beware of the love of wisdom that is sourced in men and the world. Because here's why. It's going to spoil you. Beware of that kind of philosophy, that kind of love of wisdom. It'll spoil you. But philosophy, the love of wisdom that is after Christ, is the kind of philosophy that we should seek for. Now here's the $64,000 question. Where do you find the wisdom that is after Christ? In the Word of God. That's where you find it. And the Bible says the parents choose the way the child should go based on the truths of God's Word, and then the parents train the child to go that direction. So parents should go to the end, that 18, 19, 20, 21 years of age, when that child has hopefully reached a mature young adulthood, and figure, this is what I want my young, mature adult child to be. And then all the way back here from birth, parents train, 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 train. Have you ever seen people train an animal? It's work and it's work and it's work and it's work and it's train and train and train. And I train them in the destination, the way that leads to that end. Every road leads somewhere. So you find out what you want them to be, and that's what you start doing from the time that they come into your family. What do you see them being at age 18, 19, and 20? Teach them, train them that direction now. Do you see them as a young adult having a good work ethic? Then start them down the way that leads to a good work ethic now. You can't let them lay around. You can't let them be lazy for 14 years and all of a sudden flip a switch and in 4 years' time have a good work ethic. You're not going to do that. Start them now. Do you see them being respectful? Do you see them speaking respectfully? Then start them down the way that leads there now. Do you see them having some strong boundaries set into their life so they won't slip into areas of sin and wrong? Do you see them having some parameters for right and for wrong? Start them down the way that leads there now. I said before, look, if you see them someday as a young adult dressing distinctly and dressing modestly, start them down the way that leads there now. Now, why do you want to dress them indistinctly when they're 3-4 years old and then you expect them someday to dress distinctly? You start them on the destination where you want them to end now. And you train them up. You train them, I don't know why. You put girly type things on your little boys and jeans on your little girls if you don't want them to wear them then. Don't start it now. Don't start it now. You say, well, you know, they're kids, they're just little boys and girls. Yeah, but they are under construction and they are going down a way that leads to a destination. Start them how you want them to be. Start them that way. Go to the end and decide what you want and then come all the way back here to the beginning and begin to head them that way. Say, well, what I'm really concerned about, I'm not so much concerned about their dress, I'm concerned about their heart. Let me tell you, if you are concerned about their heart, their dress will be right. It's a part of it. It's a part of it. Do you see them enjoying godly, edifying, Bible-based music? Do you see them enjoying listening to that type of music then? Music that pleases God, honors God. Bible-based psalms, hymns, spiritual songs that are correct in music, correct in words, correct in rhythm, correct in all of that. Do you see them enjoying godly music then? Start them on that road that leads there now. You know, you can't allow videos and DVDs that have wild music for 8 to 10 years and then all of a sudden you say, well, you can't listen to that anymore. Start them on that now. Train up a child in the way he should go. This is where you should go if you're going to get to that end. Young sir, young boy, young girl, that's where you want, we want you to be. Do you see them loving to be in church and getting something out of the services? Start them down the way that leads there now. Begin with having them in services so that they know church is important. I don't understand sitting. Now, we've got certain families sitting in certain places in the auditorium for a reason. It's called protection. Okay? But if we don't have you sitting in a certain area of the auditorium for protection, I would put little kids up front. Now, you got to give them a little time to get used to sitting in church. I understand that. But I don't know why you want to be away, far away from the pulpit. If you want your kids to, at age 18, 19, and 20, to be in a service where they enjoy, start them on the road that leads that way now. Don't wait. Do you see them not having an improper relationship with the opposite gender? Then start them down that road now. You don't want to, look, you know what, at 18, 19, and 20, I don't want my child going to public places where men and women would exercise together and swim together and all of that and be half naked in the pool. If you don't want them to do that at 18 and 19, don't start them doing it in 2 and 3. Why do you want to start? Well, they're just little. Look. Train up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't say, you know, at age 5, start training him up in the way they should go. You go out here and you pick a destination that you want your child, your young adult child to be, and you pick a path, you pick a road to walk that's going to send your child to that destination. And that you don't want your 18 and 19, 20-year-old boy, young man, young lady, running off to some exercise center where there's women in halter tops and hot pants. Well, he's there for exercise. Yeah, I'm sure he is. He's getting a lot more than exercise while he's there. Oh, he don't think like that. No, no. No, he doesn't have any red blood. No, not your son. Never, never, never. No. Hogwash. I'll tell you what we've done. We've hooked into blogs. We've hooked into podcasts. We've hooked into all kind of things that sound so warm and fuzzy and sweet. And we neglected the truth of God's Word. Come on. Got to go back to the Bible. Because this is the source of wisdom that is after Christ. Because wisdom that is after man, wisdom that is after the world, Paul said, watch out for that. Be careful of that kind of wisdom. Do you see them at age 18, 19, and 20 telling the truth and being honest? Start them down the way that leads there now. Do you see them loving the Bible and reading their Bible? Start them down the way that leads there now. Have your family altar. Have your Bible time. Make the Bible a supreme and important part of your day in front of your children. If that's the way, that's where you want them to end, then train them up in the way to go to that end and start doing it now. Do you want them to wait till post-high school years to start the process of courting and dating? Which is when they should start that, then start doing that down that road now. Don't encourage all these little silly relationships at age 12 and 13 and 14, folks. Don't start that. Don't start down that road. If you want them to start being concerned about a mate post high school when they're adult, and we can go back and check out the messages that we preached about that. If you want them, if that's what you think the Scripture designates in the Bible, then start them down that road now that leads to that destination. Look, I'm simply saying you start at the end and then you go to the beginning and you work your way to where you started. Where did you start? You started here. You saw what you wanted them to be at age 18, 19, and 20. All right? The child comes into your life here. Now you're going to work your way to where you started. Train up that child in the way they should go. I understand, folks, I understand that you may think, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, you're overboard, you're overkill, it's too much. But I'm telling you that I travel and I see and I go to churches, we are losing families built on Bible truth. We're losing families built on Bible truth. And if we don't have a group of young couples, as I've said so many times, and young people stand up and grasp the truth of God's Word and understand what is right and what is wrong, not according to somebody on a podcast, but according to what this book teaches. And nail it down. I was almost brought a 4x4 post, piece of a post in here tonight, and a good sized nail and a hammer. You know, and this is the way it is in some churches. Tink, tink, you know, let's live right. Tink, tink, let's please the Lord. Tink, tink. Now, how far down that 4x4 is that nail going? But brother, I'm going to tell you what I think I have to do. I have to come to this pulpit and say, folks, poof, 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 and drive it 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 until that truth is nailed down deep in that post. And then you know what? Nobody will shake it out. And you know what you can hang on it? You can hang some heavy weight on it without it pulling out. Like the weight of the next generation. Part of what's happening is our pastors and preachers are just tinking around, tiptoeing around, trying not to offend anybody. Trying not to offend anybody. You may not know it, but I've come pretty close tonight to offending some people. And I planned to say what I said. Because I'm not going to tink, tink, tink. I'm going to poof, 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 until you can't pull that out. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. Because tink, tink, tiptoeing with Tiny Tim through the tulips is not going to carry the weight of the next generation. But hammering and hammering and hammering in the right spirit, I am not mad. I am contending for the truth. I am vitally concerned tonight that this whole influx of young couples in this church grab hold to what is unpopular, what is not the going thing today in fundamental independent Baptist churches, that's Bible truth, and grab a hold to it. Now, if this is what you envision at age 18, 19, and 20, train up a child in the way he should go. The way he should go. That's how you should go. That's not how you should go. And you don't wait until they're 16, 14. You start now. You start now. And grow them up to what you saw in your 18, 19, 20 year old. Very concerned. I'm very pleased. I'll add that. Very pleased for our young couples who are excited about serving the Lord, excited about using talents and abilities to serve God. I appreciate it. I think that's where your talent and ability should be used to serve God. But I am desperate that you grab hold of Bible truth about your children and wherever this thing is coming from, about where you've got to decide what fights you want to pick with your children. You show me that in the Scripture. And you do it in the right spirit. You don't provoke them to wrath along the way. You know, I'm done. I'll say this and I'll be done. I told a group of young couples yesterday down in Terre Haute. I'm thinking of an example from the past about a dad who had three children, and he came across Bible truth. And he found out that how he was living was not lined up with Bible truth. And so he decided, this is how we're going to live. And he set that as a goal for his kids. And they were not little children. And he lovingly and patiently brought his family to the truth. One of them was young, a little child. One of them was a little older. One of them bucked. One of them fought, pushed against Dad. Tried to expand the parameters. But Dad said, this is the way. And didn't appease the child. Appeasement, I'm amazed at how we get so angry at our government for appeasement and then practice it in our families. With our children. He didn't waver. He did it in love. He talked. And I married her. And she's been my wife. You see her as Saint Joyce. She wasn't always Saint Joyce. You know I was bad. You know I was bad. You think she wasn't bad. Oh, yes. And on our wedding day, she said, I would like for us to have two benches and for us to be seated in the ceremony and have my dad talk to me one more time before I become your wife. So on the platform, we sat down. And John talked to Joyce in that wedding ceremony. A man who, according to Scripture, decided what he wanted his children to be and set them on that road. And lovingly and prayerfully and conversationally brought them to it. It can be done. You can hold that little bundle of life in your arms and you can look down the road and say, that's what I want them to be. And so from this point, I'm going to start down the way that leads to that. Train up a child. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. I just pray that you will, please, help our couples, help our families, young couples especially, Lord, to grab hold of Bible truth and practice it in faith, believing your word to be what it is. God, help them not to waver. Give them wisdom. Give them discretion. And I pray that, God, you'll help them in that tremendous responsibility of bringing up a child in the way they should go. Speak to our hearts. Help our homes. Help the young people who are in this season of life bringing children into the world. Give them grace as they parent. In Jesus' name. If somebody's here tonight, or heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're not saved, now's the time to get saved. Or follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You know what your need is. Maybe you want to come as a husband and wife tonight, mom and dad, and just say, you know what, we want to take the advice and the counsel of God's good word and start our children down the right path to what they should be. Let's pray together. Father, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies will play us a song of invitation.